Chuck Dizzle, DJ Ed. We got a baby goat in the building with us right now, man. And she's not shy. She's not talking low, none of that. We got young Devin checking in. How you feeling?
I'm good. How you feeling? Amazing.
I can't complain. Young Devin.
Yep.
Hey, listen. Number one. Okay, first and foremost, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Like, you are incredibly dope.
Thank you.
And to hear from him, it's you know, I know, it holds a little more weight.
I was I'm just saying, trust me, I know. That's a very big compliment. It's like all the people who don't give out the compliments been giving me compliments, that's so that's good. That's good.
You are incredibly dope. And I just remember, like, I think I met you in 2016.
What was the award cipher? 2019.
2019, I met you. And we did the cipher, the BET Hip Hop Award cipher. And I'm not going to say no other names, but I felt like they did it right. When they had you introduce the cypher.
Yeah.
Then they had you go last.
Yeah.
And it was like, damn.
Yeah, it was like an alley.
And you were like 17?
I was 17. Jeez, mm-hmm. Because I think I was just saying.
The youngest ever.
To do it. Because the minimum was 18. And we had got the paperwork. We just told him. We just had to be honest. He was like, listen, she's 17. It was like, yeah, that's fine. Just sign the paper.
No, she's dope.
Yeah, they was like, yeah, just let's sign the paper and let's go. So.
Wait, so. It was like a thing, like you. There was like logistics.
Yeah, like you actually had to be. Well, I don't want to say we broke any rules. We didn't. No, we got approval, but yeah, you had to be 18. Even if you wanted to like do any competition to even get to try to be inside, everything was just the minimum is 18, and I was 17. But I guess you know, thankfully, BET loved it, and they just thought that I was so super dope, so they just overlooked it.
I think that what's interesting about that is I think I was so impressed by how advanced you already were at 17. Now obviously you know you're good, but
thank you.
At that point when I got introduced to you, and I think you won take your shit, and it was like,
yeah, I did, because the funniest thing about that it was a freestyle. Like I had in the beginning I had it down pack, but then I started realizing when I seen the lights and the cameras moving, I'm like, yo, I'm really at BET right now. Man. And I forgot everything I wrote. So I'm like, I'm not gonna mess up, because I didn't know the situation. Like I didn't know we had to re-record. So I'm thinking this is a one take. You gotta give your best. And so I just went for it, and they caught that perfect audio.
Wait, like, so that was a freestyle?
Yeah, that was the freestyle. Like half, like the majority, like the first 4-8 bars was regular, but then the ending was just freestyle. Cause I'm like, I can't mess up. Like,
are
I can't.
You serious?
Yeah.
Looking back at it, did it obviously, like in the situation, I'm glad you were honest about, yo, the TV, the lights and all that.
Yeah.
Had you known like that you could have stopped, you would have. Right?
Exactly. So but I feel like it wouldn't have been as fly. It wouldn't have been as authentic. Like, I was just feeling myself. I was in Cali. So I'm like, you know what? Let me shout out Nipsey. Like, I was just doing everything beautifully that organically came into something amazing that everybody loved, you know? So I was nervous though. Like, at the award show, and I'm looking at it, because I'm like, I don't remember what I said. So I'm like, this could be very bad. And then when they played it on the screen and everybody was looking, and I'm looking at like my favorite rappers looking at it on the screen, and I'm listening to what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah.
So what makes that a bit? Because you've been doing this for some time, and we can take it back. You started doing music at the age of 8. So
yeah.
It's like you're not new to this, but I mean, but you're having new benchmarks in your career. As you say, your favorite rappers are looking at these, having these moments, man. How do those moments feel when you're in it? Because it's not new, but it is new when you kind of,
yeah, I feel
moments.
Like it feels like I'm a new artist all over again, like I'm a baby all over again. Like, and I don't know, it's so surreal, because you know, everything is clearly on a bigger scale now with just, you know, hip-hop being that forefront genre of the world. So I don't know, it's just crazy. Like, even just things like celebrities posting me, like Cardi B and Offset. And all, I just don't understand how they find me. Like, I always ask people,
well,
like,
there's this thing called the internet.
Yeah. You know? I just wonder, like, but the internet in itself is so huge. It's like, how do you guys stumble upon me? But I'm so thankful, and I always try to make sure that I just reach out and I catch everybody and show everybody love. But it be overwhelming sometimes. Like, I just be seeing it, and it be too much to take in. Like, I really just try to just take everything day by day.
How do you keep from burning out?
I pray. I pay attention to like everything that's going on around me. And I really just have those moments where I kind of just lock in, stay to myself, plan, you know, just think about things that I want to do, whether it's for the day or for the week. And, you know, it just doesn't keep me burned out because it just keeps me on a personal schedule, not even anything physical like me getting up or going to the gym, just my brain from like crashing out or just thinking of 100 different things at once, because you can.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I think what's interesting to me about Yo Come Up is a documentary? I think it was like 2016 or something. There was a documentary, and your inspiration was mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I could see that. Like, I could see the way you rap. It's like so, it's very surgical the way you rap.
Mm-hmm.
You're very clear. You enunciate your words. You rap. You can rap fast. You can rap swag. Mm-hmm. You can rap slow.
You
can hear every
single word. Yeah, that came from like me watching Nicki. Like, even when I would watch her documentaries, she would just be talking about how, like, you know, and I would think the same way. Like, she would just be talking about, she would rewrite a verse 30 times, and then sometimes she would think, like, why did I just rewrite that verse? Because everything else that everybody's putting out is so minuscule. But, yeah, like, in order to separate you and really be considered the MC or just the artist, you got to be the one to put in those extra hours to pay attention to the things like diction and your breath control and your flows
and what that mean?
Your metaphors. Like...
When the camera move away,
I'll just make sure the homies caught up. Right. Okay, we good. Go ahead.
But you know, like, those are all the tools to like just being a superstar. So I always just made sure that I pushed those things 100%. But yeah, and people hear it, which is the good thing. You know, it kind of, those are the things that set me aside from everybody else.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Now, as far as being a female artist coming up, I mean, like you mentioned, Cardi posted you, like the Nicki, like mm-hmm. all of these different people. Has anybody tapped in with you that threw you off, that you was like, oh my god, like, how does this person even know who I am?
It'd be so many people like, dang, who? It's so many different people that just reach out to me, and I'm just so confused, like, especially from like the UK.
Word.
I would say like Buju. Mm-hmm. He's one that's like super legendary. I'm just like, damn, we got a song together, it's dope. Damn. Vibes Cartel. That was the most shocking for me. Like, cause I'm a Trinidadian, so like to be from the Caribbean, and then you have like, he's one of the top guys in the Caribbean. For him to even reach out to me and mm-hmm. give me that cosign, it was like, how did you find out about me? Like, we in two completely even different genres, so that was a big moment for me. But yeah, I would say like the Cardi post, the Nicki post, the Taraji P. Henson post. Like, those are.
Have you gotten any advice from people you look up to?
Who? Yeah. Cardi definitely, she just told me, like, just keep working, keep grinding. Like, she's seen everything. And that just kind of gave me advice to myself in the sense of, you got to just keep going because you never know who's watching. Like, when we were speaking, she was telling me things that you would only have to be paying attention to me to know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, damn, she's in tune. Or just, you know, even Taraji, she told me to just make sure I keep my circle small and just stay humble, pay attention to everything. And that's what I always kept. That's why I say it all the time. Like, I just pay attention to everything that's going on, you know? So I always just make sure that I take like bits and pieces of what everybody tells me and put it into my own.
I like that.
What about the family? Like, what's the family? The structure, how are people reacting to the success, and you know, how things are going for you?
It's
right
wild.
Now?
My mother, she feels like the hottest thing on the block. My mother is outside. You know, like,
Is
it an embarrassing thing?
No, because okay. my mother, she moves like a rapper now. Like, okay. When I got myself jewelry, I got my mom jewelry. So she got her own chain. Yeah. She got her own ring. She be pulling up, doing her little thing. So I'm happy. Like, I'm happy that my mom is able to, like, experience, you know, the fruits of my labor and just enjoy. Like, my entire family, they're all super proud of me. And they get to see that all the hard work that I was putting in from 9 years old is paying off now.
Was that your idea to get into the music? Was that was that family?
It was nobody's idea. Like, it just happened organically. Like, I literally performed at a school talent show, mm-hmm. and it went crazy. And then my mom's friend had seen it on Facebook, and he was cool with a guy who owned a radio station. So we seen him driving down the street one day, mm-hmm. and he pulls me out the car window, and he sees me. He's like, "You were singing at your school, come sing on the radio." But we thought he was joking. And he told my mom to change the station. And he was like, just stay there for like 10 minutes. And brought me into this room. And I was on the radio. And I started getting booked for shows on the spot.
Are you serious?
So it was never a conscious decision of like I wanted to do music. I just got booked. And show after show, I just kind of fell in love with it ever since.
So you kind of like, it was more natural. It wasn't like, oh, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, even with rapping too. Like everything was just super natural. Like when I did that transition from doing soca music to rapping, I never said I wanted to be a rapper. That was like the furthest thing from my brain. Like I just
were you anti-rap at that point? Like I don't want to do it, or is it just like it's just not my thing?
Well, no, I actually was at a point where I was anti-rap because it's not that I didn't want to do it. I just felt like I wasn't capable. Like rapping, like that was never a thought for me. Like I just felt like that's the craziest thing to say, that I would rap. And then I just started getting the hang of it, and I just started pushing my pen and I got better. So yeah, everything was natural.
What about the developing like the freestyle? Mm-hmm. Like is that
that came from like a lot of training? Like I don't know. I used to come home from school. I don't know. A lot of my friends, they used to stay after school, but I would come home and I would be watching like Meek Mill, like freestyling at radio stations for hours. Mind you, it's the same video. Yeah. I didn't do homework. No, that was my homework for real. Yeah. Like I never did homework because of that. Like I'm watching him and I'm watching his mannerisms and his confidence and how he rapping and taking his jacket off. And I'm like, yeah, he look comfortable. Like I need to look like that. So that's kind of when I started gaining that hunger to be like, nah, I want to show people I could really rap. So I just started doing mad freestyles. I was just posting videos on Instagram or going to freestyle shows and just, you know, exercising my pen as much as I could.
Now, I think you are a phenomenal talent. Thank you. Now, the decisions video, mm-hmm. I was watching the video and I was like you was kind of in your bag. Like you was like you was moving your head, like you was really feeling yourself mm-hmm. in that video. Mm-hmm. Right? And not that you don't in other videos. Yeah. I feel like this one was like, I'm here.
Yes.
Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yes, you got that exactly right. Because that was my first like real, you know, label, huge budget video. Like I'm finally stepping out. I just did my situation with Def Jam and 4th and Broadway. So, you know, like to be in that moment, it just felt great. And I just was seeing all the big cameras and I'm just like, yeah, I'm here. Like, you know,
I'm here.
I just loved it. And it reflected on the camera really well. And it showed people that as well. Like it just showed like, wow, this is kind of her first stamp and print into the game. So
now you brought up 4th and Broadway. Shout out to the trees. You're the first artist mm-hmm. that was signed to 4th and Broadway.
Yep.
Do you feel any pressure that, okay, Young Devin has to perform? She has to be the shit. She has to be, you're the flagship.
Yeah. Yes and no. Like, they never put pressure on me in a sense of like me being that flagship artist, but I always do have it in the back of my head. Like, I always want to make sure I perform well because I know I make my label proud. Like, they speak so highly of me. Every room I go in, people tell me, like, yo, your team goes hard for you. So I always just want to make sure that I'm just doing exactly what they say I do when I'm not there.
Don't embarrass them.
Right.
Don't make me look bad.
Right.
Fuck this up.
Yeah, especially being from New York, too. Like, mm-hmm. Def Jam's a legend, obviously.
Legendary.
The most legendary label. Do you ever think about it from a perspective of, like, okay, I'm on Def Jam. Like, I'm now in that same vein as all these legendary
Yes,
artists.
I did, 100%. When I went on like defjam.com and I scrolled down, yes, I did. And I'm seeing Jay-Z and I'm seeing Nas, I'm seeing Rihanna, I'm seeing all these names, and then I just go right down and I see Young Devin. I just felt like, yeah, I'm here. Like, this is my time. I'm dancing with the stars. That's always my favorite line. It's like, I'm finally dancing with the stars.
I like that. I like the fact that you know what it reminds me of? This is going to sound, it's not disrespectful, but mm-hmm. I'm watching Miss Marvel.
Whenever you say it's not disrespectful, you got to just like,
that means it's 100%.
No, it's not. I'm watching Miss Marvel on Disney Plus. I'm a real Marvel head, and she's like a fan of like the Avengers, and then she becomes one.
That's exactly what that is. Wow. That's exactly what that is. Because it's like, everybody I'm meeting, like you guys, like, I watch all of this on YouTube like a regular person, like a regular consumer. So it's like, it's so weird that I could be watching it on YouTube one week just like, drinking tea, chilling, and then the next week later I'm behind that camera. Like, that's such a surreal moment for me. So yeah, because I've done all of my hours studying the game, watching every documentary, anything you could think of, any interview by any artist, I watch it all. Like, I always study it. So
now for that young lady, young man, somebody that's looking at you now, mm-hmm. in this situation, what advice would you give them?
I got it tatted on my wrist: keep going. Because, you know, like I said, even years ago, had anybody told me that all of this would have happened, I would have laughed. So I would always say, just keep going. You never know. Yeah. Like, you just never know. Like, the day you stop, it could have been right the day before you changed your entire life.
Yeah.
You know? It could change your whole fate. So I always just say, keep going. just be humble, pray, make sure you put God first, and you'll be good.
I like stories like this because it shows that there's possibility.
Of course. What I'm saying?
And especially with this within this industry, I'm sure you hear all the negative stories, you hear all the, mm-hmm. the crazy things that happen, but to be able to shine through like that, man, I first of all, I love your personality. I love your story. I love your charisma. I love everything. And the fact that somebody's looking at this, and I can't wait for you to have that moment where somebody's like, yo, I was looking at your interview back in the day, and I've been studying you. And then you have that moment with somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you ever, when's the last time you fanned out?
I don't really fan out. I am going to fan out. I mean, I guess when like celebrities probably post me, but in person, no, I usually keep it contained. I'm probably going to fan out in September though, because I'm performing at Rolling Loud. Yeah, with Nikki. So wow. It's like, that's kind of going to be a real full circle moment for me, because like that's the lady who, or that's the person in general who made me want to rap.
Right.
So to be booked on the same show as her, it's like I got far as hell.
And isn't Nikki Trini?
Yeah, she's Trini. So it's a home-based
thing. It's a real
thing
for you.
Yep.
Now, two scenarios. All
right.
Two scenarios at Rolling Loud.
Okay.
Nikki comes up to you and she says, Devin, you inspire me. Like
Nicki Minaj. Okay.
She comes up to you and she says, Devin, you inspire me.
Oh God.
And I would be honored for you to come with me right now to the studio. Do you lose your shit then?
Nah, we going. Listen, I mean,
do you fan out? Do you like have that moment, or do you just like, no, it's business?
Where we going? Like, send me the Addy. I'm a fan out afterwards. But what? We doing the song. The mission has to be completed at the end of the day. So, yeah, we're going to get it done. I'll definitely probably have a moment in the car on the way to the studio. Like, I'm like, yo, like.
As soon as
I get out the car, I'm back. Like,
yeah. So, okay. Flip side of that.
Okay.
She comes up to you and she says, your music is terrible.
Okay.
And I want you to stop talking about me as an inspiration because I don't like your music.
Okay.
What do you say? How do you deal with that internally?
I'm gonna say okay.
And then in the car. You brush it off? Do you?
I mean, of course, like that would suck. Like your biggest inspiration.
Would it be devastating, or would you just be like, okay, that's just her opinion?
I mean, yeah, I have to say, because like devastating is like this is an opinion that's gonna stop you. Whether it's anybody, like you always gotta just kinda overlook those things and keep going. But yeah, I would be like, oh my God.
You gotta look at your tattoo at that point.
What? Yeah, like I gotta really look at that tattoo. For real. Like I'm gonna.
Now,
go ahead. Nah, yeah, that would be crazy.
What if you guys get on a track together, right? She laces a verse for you, y'all in the studio vibing, right?
Mm-hmm.
She does a verse. It's going to be on your album,
mm-hmm.
right? But the verse is trash. Do you tell Nikki to recut that shit? It's Nikki.
Yeah. Nikki not gonna give me no trash verse.
Nikki gives you a verse that's just like, look, it ain't there. You know the Nikki that inspired you is not that.
She's not going to give me a trash verse, though.
But it's not what you're looking for. Let's change that.
It's not trash. It's just not fitting the song with you. Do you ask for the verse? Do you ask for a different verse?
I'm not sure, because it's like, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, when it comes to these, like, major celebrities, I never know their temperature. Like, even when, like, if Cardi hits me, she would send me a voice note. I don't know if I should send a voice note back. Like, I mean, I send it back at the end of the day. Like, yeah, I would like overthink it, but I'm like, nah, you gangsta, do that. Right. But no, in the moment, I really don't know. So I don't know people's like temperaments. I don't know. I'll be thankful that she gave me a verse, and I'm gonna take it with shot. I'm gonna stand on it. If people think it's trash, I don't care. I gotta stand on it.
Now, Young Devin does a verse for somebody.
Okay.
And they say, you know what? This is cool, but it's not what I was looking for. Do you do the verse over?
It depends on who it is and what it's for.
I like that. That's honest.
Yeah.
I like that.
It definitely depends on, because some situations it's just like, okay, bye. And in other situations it's like,
got you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Get straight to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of straight to it,
mm-hmm.
the song.
Yeah.
It's like the drill song.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know, because I'm not out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the new New York sound? Is drill the new New York sound, quote unquote?
I'm not gonna say drill is like the new New York sound, because the sounds always change, but I would say that's definitely the culture right now.
Okay.
Like, it's definitely the New York drill sound. is like the culture. That's where what everybody's kind of just drawing inspiration from, whether it's the swag, the dancing, or like artists like flying to New York and, you know, just linking up with other New York artists. So yeah, that's definitely like the vibe that's going on right now. But New York has so much flavors. Like there's like uptown vibes. There's so many different types of vibes in New York. So
now, for people that are unfamiliar with soca, uh-huh. I'll break down what soca is.
Yeah, so soca, some people might know calypso better than soca. That's kind of more of the worldly way of saying it, but soca is a more updated genre of that. It's called soul calypso. So it's like the breakdown is called soca. And it's it started in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. It's a Caribbean-based genre. It's just fun. It talks about carnival, having fun, you know, just enjoying yourself, having a good time. So it's like every year I was performing, traveling, touring, selling out shows at like islands at like 12. And
that's cool.
Yeah,
that is wild to be able to do all that. Do you think obviously those experiences kind of help you now navigate through the industry?
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's made me so well seasoned because I've experienced so much early on. Like people tell me all the time, like, you're so mature for your age, or mm-hmm. you're so well spoken. I've been doing interviews since 8. So it's like I know how to. Yeah.
At what moment did you, you know, have you had those moments of wanting to give up, and how did you get past that?
Of course. I think it's natural. That's a part of everybody's success story. As much as everybody would say, like, yo, I kept going, they're going to have moments. It's a natural human thing to just have that what if. Even if it's not a full, you know, devotion of you saying you're going to stop, everybody has that what if moment. But I never just tried to make those moments a reality. Like, I would have it, I'll be angry for a little bit, but then I just got to push it to the back of my head because I know that there's so much more, you know, beyond and, you know, in the future for me.
Now I remember you campaigning. I think you was campaigning for the freshman cover.
Yeah.
Now, is that something that is like, that's like a must have for you? Or is it like, okay, been like, it's here and gone. Is that?
No, yeah, Double XL, that would be super dope. I mean, they didn't have any like New York artists this year, which exactly. Everybody from New York was so sad about that, but hopefully next year. But, you know, I think that'll be a dope thing. If they didn't pick me or if they don't pick me, that, you know, I don't look at that as a bad thing, or I don't ever look at that as a snub. Like, yeah, I never wanted to be on Double XL anyway. Yeah. That's corny. No, Double XL is legendary. Like, I would go on there, go on a cypher and smoke it. Yeah, so, yeah.
Be real about it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Probably next year, for sure.
Now, do you think that that stuff still holds as much weight as it did before? Because I don't know. Like, people look forward to different things.
Yeah,
before
I know what you mean.
Before it was the cover.
Yeah.
Now it's the freestyle.
Yeah.
And then those are kind of mid at this point. Yeah. So it's like, what's next,
dude? I really just think that you got to just get those, like, no matter what. Like, me, I personally, I never look at any of those types of things like, yo, it might not hold the same weight. Because I know when I go there, no matter when, what year it is, I'm going to make it hold weight. Like, it could be the most worst year ever.
They're going to talk about Young
Death. If what? Yeah. What? They put me in a cypher, that's what we're going to be talking right. about. XXL is trending. So it don't matter really and truly for me, because I know I'm going to make that moment anywhere I go.
I love your confidence.
Yeah.
You just really know, like, I'm here to do a thing.
For sure.
And now, when it comes to being a female coming up in the business, what's, like, one of the biggest obstacles you've had to overcome?
People never believe me when I say it, but I don't ever have any obstacles to overcome as a female, because I don't, and it might sound weird, but I don't move like a female rapper. I never walk in a room and say I'm a female rapper, or I never look for like a female rapper type of record, or identify to like female rapper type of stigma things. Like, I always, even yesterday I was in the studio with somebody and they were playing me records and it was all girl songs.
Right.
And I'm like, I just want a hit. Why you think that I want a girl song? Yeah. So it's like, I've never had those types of things because I never introduced that to people that gave people that leeway to even put me in that box. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing songs with dudes, I'm hanging with the dudes, or I'm doing songs with females, I'm hanging with the females. Like, I attract both sides. So I always just, once you overlook something or use it to your advantage, people can't put you in a certain box anymore. Even with my age, like, I was young and some people were telling me I was too young to rap it, and I was going on Sway and I'm like, I'm 16, spent 16s. And that was like one of the most legendary lines. So yeah.
No, but so when you're in the studio and they give you the girl records, you speak up and like, nah, give me something else.
People don't give me records. I don't ever let people give me records. Like, I make my records. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's why when I do go into these rooms and I see, I just try to stay away from certain types of vibes. All right, I see the type of mindset you think I'm in. All right, you know, let's move on.
Do you, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
You got to really be aware. Pay attention. Do you ever feel like women get the same weight as the male rappers?
I think people hold women to a higher standard in a sense of I mean, but it's always been given. People have been saying this. A dude could say A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and it's easy. But like a woman, it's like they judge everything. They judge how you look. They judge what you say. They judge every single thing. They critique it. Even if it's good, they're still going to critique it. So it's like, for me personally, I always just try to do 200% because I know it's only going to be considered about 80. So
I love that.
Yeah, I always just go super hard.
Now, speaking of which, I've been having this debate with a couple of my friends for years. Mm-hmm. Okay, you being from New York, y'all call Air Force Ones Uptown.
Yeah.
Okay. If a guy approaches you, tries to holler at you, and he got on all black Uptowns.
Uh-huh. Right? Laughed at that.
Is that a no-go? Like, how do you treat all black Uptowns?
So, like, see... I'm open-minded. Like,
the whole team,
No, I'm not gonna lie. If it's like if this is your regular fit and you have on black ups, you have to stay away. Just turn around. Right? But if I see the vision, like if you got on drip, like if you got Celine sweaters and chrome hearts, jeans with the black, like you're trying to do an all black out look, I understand what you're going for. You're going for a fashion risk right now. You're taking a risk. You know, but if this is like you have on something common, you wearing it, like, okay, bro, now I know that's your vibe. Right. Like I'm not doing that.
So what is this? Like, it's because this is a real thing.
It's just a scary shoe. Like, you're just not... like, doing that is like tying up Timberlands mad tight. Like, it's just certain things you're just not supposed to do. And that's one of them. But...
So, it would... Okay, now, go to the Timbs. Mm-hmm. Somebody got their Timbs tied hella tight.
Yeah, you're not valid. It don't matter what situation... I don't care what fast... It don't matter.
It don't matter nothing. What you're wearing.
On, like, your feet hurt. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, no.
So does that have anything to do with their character, or is just they just don't know how to dress?
No, that's a part of your character. I definitely judge your heart.
Explain. So they got tight ass Tims, right?
I judge your heart based off of that. Like, I don't trust you.
Your
heart based
on your tied up Tims.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Has that ever happened to you? You've seen somebody with Tims all the way tied up, or the
for
black
sure.
Uptown?
Even when I'm younger, just trying to figure out your swag, I used to have my Tims a little tied up too. But then I figured it out.
So what age did you stop tying the Tims all the way up?
I probably said like middle school, like eighth grade.
So they're supposed to be loose.
Yeah, like sometimes I tuck my laces. What I do is like I knot them under the tongue and then I tuck them in my shoe. Yeah, fire.
Levels to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
So what about the mid top uptowns? Or is that that's not an uptown anymore?
Never. Never.
Everybody about to cut the interview off. Like, this is disrespectful.
Never,
right?
Never. So, we never go for that.
That's a no.
No, that's a no no.
No matter what situation.
That's a no no.
What, like, if I'm hooping?
We don't do mids.
Don't do mids.
No mids. Nothing mid over here.
Okay, so either low.
Either low or high.
So no mid with the strap.
No. Ooh, now you wow. The strap is nasty. That's crazy. What? That's what y'all rocking on?
No, I'm asking. No, I have no fashion sense, clearly.
Nah, this is good. This is a good fit.
I don't have no fashion sense, but I'm just saying, like, that's not fashion is not my thing at all.
Just
but
the sense of it. Like, what,
yeah,
like,
I'm just trying to get
we can't do that.
So no mid.
No.
Okay. What about what's the other thing that I saw? I saw the somebody said when they, you know how they tuck their pants into the shoe?
Into the shoe.
Is that okay? Or it depends on how you wear it?
It depends. It definitely depends on the shoe. It depends on how you wear it. Like, let's say, like, I don't know, like if you're wearing like Lanvins, you might tuck it in if you got like a little skinny jean going on. But if you got like a stacked pants, you might wear it outside. So it depends. It really depends.
So that's not just a no.
Yeah, it's not just a no. You gotta figure out the vibe. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning.
Yeah, we getting some fashion.
Yeah, I'm learning. What about a haircut? Is there a hard no on any type of haircut?
We're not doing mohawks. Okay. We're not doing anything else. I don't know. Everybody's been creative this year. First of all, I noticed all the guys are getting like their hair back. Like everybody's getting braids.
I brought mine.
Yeah. Or like dreads now. That's like the new thing. Before it was like waves. So I'm curious to see. It's gonna change in like 2 years.
What's the first thing that you look at when somebody's approaching you, right?
Uh-huh. What's the first thing that I look at? Because it depends. Like, I don't know. Like girls, I look at girls from like toes up, mm-hmm. and then guys, I look at them from haircut down.
Okay.
For girls, and then guys, it's like haircut down, yeah.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I want to go to what is it? Oh, some of your, I heard you say this. You said, and I think it was a freestyle. You said, I never had to sell out my body to be everybody's hood favorite.
Yeah. And oh yeah, I said that with you.
And it was in the cycle. And so I thought that was really strong that you said that, especially being at 17. Mm-hmm. I think you said that. Do you feel like that's a pressure for women?
Yeah.
In the industry?
Yeah, I always say, like, for female rappers, it's either you're super sexual or you're super tough. Like, it's never just a regular, normal girl. And that's kind of what my music, my project, everything that I basically just represent, like, normality. Just, it's okay if I want to wear heels one day and then sneakers the next. Or I don't want to always, like, I don't
or
know.
Or all black ups.
Right.
You almost fell for that, too. She's like,
almost.
Yeah. No.
But it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like it's super degrading to feel, because I'm standing for, like, you know, woman empowerment and women just feeling sexually empowered. But I don't want that to be what people just think women are. Like, we're not just sexual beings. Like, we have other feelings. We go through other things, and there needs to be a female artist who represents that. So that's kind of what I bring to the game. So.
Just like the homegirl.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that perspective.
Baby Goat 2.0.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about that, man?
Huge. I just dropped Bold Decisions.
Yeah.
I got some huge records lined up. I got a record with Favi coming.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on a Maroon 5 sample. We got that cleared.
Wow.
You know? And I just got a dope project. Like, I don't know. I've been listening to it a lot lately. We've been putting together the track listing, but it's just a dope, dope project.
What's your expectation, though, this go around when you're putting this out? Like, obviously, you're trying to take it up a notch, but, like, what are some key markers, some goals that you kind of, like, want to knock off as you complete this project?
I don't really have, like, any goals when it comes to the project, because I just try to, like, let God do his thing. I'm very big on prayer, so I always just say, like, whatever God has for me, you know, I know I'll get it, but I know it's going to be big. I just feel it. Like, the energy is different. The buildup is different. And it's like I get little signs here and there that lets me know, like, okay, like, things is about to be a little bit different. But I just try not to have too much big expectations, because, you know, when you got expectations, it may bring disappointment. Mm. So I just always just go with the flow and just try to just give 100% in everything, and it'll fall into place.
Is it turned in, ready to go, or are we still?
Yeah, like, okay. We mixing and mastering as we speak. All okay. The songs are done.
When did
set.
You know, or when did you know, okay, we have what we know?
My label had to tell me, girl.
Yo, you going to keep
stop.
Recording.
Yeah, it was like, stop. But no.
How many songs do you record? Like, when do you dwindle down and say, okay, this is
Yeah, so what I do is, because it's like, I do so many different sounds, it's like, I never think, like, I never walk in the studio and say, like, okay, I'm going to do this type of song today. Like, it'll just be whatever I'm feeling in the moment. So I might do 4-5 melodic songs, you know, in this session, and in my next session I might do 5 rap songs, then I'll do 5 introspective songs, 5 Caribbean songs, and then I just pick, like, the best ones out of those that, like, tell the story the best and keep it concise, and then we just roll it from there. So I just play them all the songs and I pick my favorites.
Do we have a date?
I can only say this summer.
This summer.
So we'll get it before August.
Way before August, yes.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, no, we gotta heat up the summer. It's gonna be crazy. Okay. The song of me and Favio is coming out like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, I saw you post, this was a while back, but I follow you, obviously, but mm-hmm. You posted a picture of Nipsey.
Yeah.
With his grandmother.
Yeah.
And you said, it's my real life goal.
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean by that?
Those is like my real life goals right there. Like, I never really want to have, like, music expectations, because I know it's gonna be good. I know the music will speak for itself. Like, I have, like, just real life goals. Like, I want different things in my life to change. I just want to elevate my life, do certain things with the opportunity that I have now, you know, to just be in a position to just change my whole family's life. Like, I want to be able to do that. And just looking at that picture, it gave me so much inspiration and motivation. Like, yo, those are the types of things that are important, and those are the things that really matter, because I want to be able to still give my grandmother experiences that she's never even seen at her age, mm-hmm. you know, and even my mom. So, yeah, that was like a big, big, big thing for me. That was like one of my favorite pictures. I still got it in my phone.
Yeah, yeah. It was him and his grandmother getting off the jet.
Yeah.
We lost Nip.
Uh-huh.
Y'all lost Pop.
Pop.
What was...
You know, so crazy? This is Pop Smoke's DJ.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bless, love, bro. So we had Pop up here, and we did an interview with him.
Yeah.
In the second interview, he came back, and he didn't like how he articulated himself. So he's like, man, just take it down. I don't want it up. Like, mm-hmm. I'll come back. And the next time, he didn't make it back. But what I want to know from you is, what was the temperament like? Because Pop, I think I hadn't seen no shit like that
ever
coming out of New, especially ever. Like in since 50 Cent, I haven't seen like
that energy ever
come that full force like that from an artist, especially from that side. But I know what it felt like on the West Coast.
Yeah.
What was it like experiencing that being in New York and then also after?
That was like the craziest thing ever. It was real bitter. Like it just felt very bitter. Even the day of, just that especially that week. I just remember that week being very gloomy, very bitter. Everybody was like outside in Canarsie, just doing like a lot of the candle lightings. It just felt very weary, like a missed energy. Like we just missed something that, because it's like when you looked at Pop, he was literally one of us. Like, I'm from Canarsie too as well. So it's like, it's kind of like, even if you don't even know him, he's young, 19, 20, just like us, from Canarsie, just like us, and you partying with Diddy. It feel like that's your cousin or like that's your man's from down the block. Even if you don't know him personally, it's like, yo, it looked like one of our mans made it. So it just felt, it gave everybody that energy, like, yo, we could do this. Because if he got that far, that quickest, and he's from the same place as us, kind of that same thing I felt when I seen Nicki. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like when you see somebody from your environment make it out, it inspires you. So it just felt like a big loss because finally somebody made it out again. Because we kind of, New York had that gap from that Bobby Rowdy situation until then. Like he kind of was the first to bring that energy back.
Yep.
And then we lost it. So it was rough. But, you know, New York is like kind of finding its way back. And, you know, you got like Favi carrying his drill thing. And drill has turned into such a mainstream thing because of Pop. And I just be looking at everything going on. And it's like such a bittersweet thing because I love it. But I just be like, damn, I know. Like Pop would have just, he would have been here for everything. His energy, he would have been that top guy. Like
out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, he was special.
For
like,
sure.
I feel like I hadn't, even just sitting talking to him, like, and being able to have conversation with him, like, I felt like his heart was different.
Yeah.
It wasn't like...
He was light years ahead of his age.
I mean, and the thing is, also, when I heard the album, when the album first, obviously, when the album dropped, I was like, oh, because obviously, being, I'm a DJ first.
Yeah.
Second, we do radio. I'm a media personality. I'm thinking like, oh, the whole album sounds like Dior.
Right.
Then when it came out, I'm like, oh, he got records.
Yeah.
Like...
Back to back, too.
Like, records.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like... And it's just like, what the fuck is going? So then, when you get the woo and you get hello, and then later on, like you get all this other shit, it's like, oh yeah, he was
light years ahead
out of here,
and like, he already seen all of this.
Yeah.
Like he was doing it, which is why it was possible for these records to still be here even after he wasn't, because he already knew where he was going, which is like so crazy.
Do you think that energy could be created again? Before he passed, like that energy.
People have tried.
Yeah.
People have definitely tried, but it could never be created. Like, Pop is like a one-of-one thing. It could be carried on. The energy could definitely still be carried on, but it can never be recreated. Just that whole star power, that energy, everything is just, that's kind of like a one-of-one thing, you know? But that's a special part of being from New York.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I want to kind of get into one specific goal, if you can kind of, you know, lead into it, right? We do this thing, the year can't end without Young Devin doing what? You mentioned that you want to change your family's life. There's some things that you know want to do.
Yeah.
Are there some bucket list goals that you have before the year ends that you're like, y'all?
Yeah, my mom definitely has to be settled into, you know, like a house by the end of this year. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you say house, you mean like in Brooklyn, like in New York, like the brownstone or some shit? Or are you talking about?
She wants a house. I wanted to like put my mom in a nice little like condo. But she wants a house. She's tired of New York. She wants to go to like Georgia or something and just get a nice big house and chill.
Because I'm kind of an asshole and I make fun of my friends from New York.
Really? Why?
Because I always tell them that they don't know what grass look like. Right?
That was a shot.
Right.
We got grass.
I know, but I'm just
y'all don't know what corner stores look like.
Facts.
Right.
But the thing is, right, New York property is so astronomically ridiculously high.
It don't make sense.
It makes no fucking sense.
It doesn't make sense. I'm in the middle of moving now, too, and it's just like, why?
When you buy, I know two people who bought brownstones, right, in Brooklyn. I guess that's in Brooklyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no fucking parking.
Yeah.
So, like,
How do you function, right?
Why would you spend $1 million?
If you're not from the city, you're not going to understand. Like, if you like are so used to you would really think that's a crazy concept. That but in New York, it's normal. Concept. Like, to just, you got to just find, your house can be on one block and your car is two blocks ahead.
That's out, bro. I'm not spending $1 million to park three blocks away. I'm not doing it.
Then you got to jump on a train.
That's it.
So you're saying, okay, and I don't want to nitpick, but that's like a way of life.
Yeah, no, that's normal. Like, that's literally normal.
Unless because one it's of like the homies said they just kind of
yeah, no, no. When I used to
for
live
like 45 minutes.
Yeah, when I used to live in East New York, let's say I would get home at 8, my mother would drop me and my brother off inside, and this one was younger, and she would be just spinning the block for like an hour, just trying to wait for somebody to come out the park. Yeah, it's crazy,
bro. Like, what's up? We got to figure this out.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand what causes traffic, cars, all of that in New York. Like, if everybody just keeps driving, there's no traffic. I never understand. Like, I don't know.
Everybody just go.
Just keep going.
You're tied to New York. Could you move anywhere else?
Never. Never. Really? I've tried to come to other places and just even imagine it for 2 seconds. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a city kid. Like, I'll go to Jersey and stay out there, but then even then, I just started getting, like, aggy, so I came back to New York. Like, I'm just always in Brooklyn, but now I got to just find a nice place in New York that I could chill. So that's kind of what I'm in between doing now.
I feel that. Yeah. I like that. You know what I really love? I love how clear you are. Mm-hmm. You're not, you're very transparent and you're honest. I love that. Yeah. Like, don't ever lose that. Don't let these weird people in this industry fuck that up for you.
Never.
Okay, last thing. So we do this thing called the homegrown head scratcher.
Okay.
Okay, now these are 3 elementary school test questions.
Oh, Lord.
Here it is.
Okay, so this segment is, we have listeners, they call the radio station, and they guess if you got the answer right or wrong, and they win shit.
Oh, so it's up to me.
Well, no, it's not necessarily up to you. They guess whether Young Devin got it right or wrong.
But it's on you.
Oh, okay. Still.
But, all right. So I'm going to ask you 3 elementary school, these are elementary school test questions. Now, even if
you don't.
Oh yeah, no, don't look over there.
I bet.
Even if you don't know the answer, just take your time
and just answer
and guess.
Okay.
So that way they can guess if you got it right or wrong.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Y'all gonna tell me if I got it right or wrong though?
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the very first Disney princess?
Nah, get over here. Nah, I see you trying to look.
The first Disney princess?
The very first Disney princess.
Disney was around before I was even a thought.
This is your elementary school test question. Don't look over there. Hey, look over here. Look this way.
I'm going to just say Cinderella, even though I'm wrong. But Cinderella.
You, that's your final answer?
Yep.
That's wrong.
who was it?
That was a good guess, though.
Snow White? Damn, that was my next guess. Yeah. Damn, but I'm like, Cinderella, she's more legendary. But no, it's Snow White, you're right. Okay.
Ready for the next one?
Uh-huh.
Who invented the telephone?
Hmm? I'm going to shout out to all my African. I'm going to just say a black person. Word. That's the right answer.
Hey, that's a funny ass answer.
Right answer.
That's the wrong. Everybody black.
I mean,
everybody black.
I mean, according to white people, so that's wrong.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. You know.
But white people have given the credit to a man named Alexander Graham Bell.
I have no idea who that is. Shout out to the black person who made the telephone.
Facts. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right. Last one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the only mammal that can fly? Don't look over there. Look this way. The only mammal that can fly.
Yo, I need to study.
She's over there busy studying Meek Mill's.
Yeah, right. Meek Mill and shit. Nicky.
A mammal that could fly?
Mm-hmm.
A mammal.
Nah, don't
can you
say
give
nothing.
Me a hint? Can
don't
you give me a hint?
Nothing,
I give me a hint.
No.
No. Name some mammals for me. Throw some mammals out.
Just guess a mammal.
A bat.
That's right.
Oh! Yeah! Yeah!
That's good.
That's good. That's good.
She shot that shit from the hips.
Nah, he was giving her the answers.
No.
Fucking our shit up.
No.
Yeah. We can hear you.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man. Baby Go 2.0.
Yeah.
Before August.
Before August.
We'll get it before The end of July.
Yes.
Will we get it before July? July 20th?
Technically, no.
Okay. All right, I'll take it.
Wait, hold on.
Nah, we
don't have to be doing a riddle.
We good. We good. Before, I got it. We good.
For sure.
We good. Now, 5 years on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Young Devin's on the project.
Yes, she's dope.
Anyone else that you care to mention?
Oh, I could drop one more name. Capella Gray.
Shout out to Capella Gray.
Yeah, that big New York. It's like a lot of New York energy on the project. I'm excited.
Shout out to Capella Gray. He came up here with his arrogant ass. And you know he's arrogant.
Uh-huh.
I like him.
Yeah, it's really, that New York flavor.
I love how honest he is.
Yeah, and he's dead serious, too.
He be dead
He's
ass,
dead
son.
Serious, yeah.
Like, okay. Now, I'm not going to get into it. Fuck it. But shout out to Capella Gray with the arrogant ass. And shout out to all of you. What did he say? Vibe?
The vibe.
Vibes.
No, he said vibe.
Vibe responsibly.
Vibe responsibly.
That's my boy. We locked in, yeah. Oh, my
God. Yes. All right, okay.
Young Devin, appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me. This is a dream come true.
And home here at Homegrown Radio. You now a homegrown homegrown.
Yes.
All right. Appreciate you popping on up. Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ. We'll catch y'all next time.